on the line with me is Miles Goodwin of April Wine. How you doing, Miles?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Again, thank you for taking the time in your busy schedule to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate this as well. Thank you.
Great. First of all, you know, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, literally, April Wine since 1969, that's what, over 45 years. You've been, you know, holding this band together, keeping it on radio and everything else. You got to be really proud of yourself for that one.
Well, I'm proud of the band, yeah. You know, it certainly wasn't one man's doing, but it feels good to still be around. People still seem to care because we still play, and there's been a demand all these years that continues, so I'm very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you got a new book out. It came out, I think, in October called Just Between Me and You. You got a busy schedule. How did you fit in, I mean, with the band and the music and the writing and the new albums coming out and everything else? How did you find the time to get a book?
Well, first of all, it's called Just Between You and Me. You said Just Between Me and You.
Oh, my apologies. My apologies.
Yeah, you're thinking Trooper now or something. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. Well, I just made the time. It took a long time too. It was difficult to write at times. Mm-hmm. So I take long breaks from it because it all of it isn't pleasant. Mm-hmm. Although it's a very positive story, I think, overall, but you know, there's definitely parts that were difficult to write. My you know, the mother dying, mm-hmm, when, yeah, I was so young, and how affected the family, my dad in particular, and then the three boys, and growing up in a pretty tough neighborhood at times, and so forth, and not a lot of money around, and all kinds of things like that, and it continues into things that were difficult to discuss around changes within the band. You know, there's people that came, people left, and people want to know why things happened or why things didn't happen. So
right,
once you get into those things, you don't make everybody happy. You know, it's like, and understandably, the book is definitely the high road. It just explains to people what in fact happened. There's been, mm-hmm, so many rumors that I thought it was time to set them straight. So.
Yeah, yeah, and dispel the rumors. And now, part of what inspired you to write this book had to do with your family?
Well, yeah, I wrote it for two reasons. The family, uh-huh, was kind of first, you know. I mean, uh-huh, I had an experience where I almost died there back in around 07, and it just starts off the book like that, and they say I would have been, if this hadn't happened and they hadn't caught it on that day, I would have been dead the next day.
Yeah.
That's how serious it was. It took me three hospitals in one day and months of recovery and so forth. But anyway, it was all after that, and I got healthy again. I started thinking about, you know, her mortality and the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of questions unanswered, and there's stuff my family, my children in particular, is really, you know, they I wanted them to know what their dad has been through in terms of, mm-hmm, his career, and because I missed a lot of things. I was always in the recording studio. I was always on the road. I was hardly home. Most kids are used to their father, you know, going away in the morning, coming back after work at the end of the day, and being around for the weekends, and I wasn't, none of that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to explain that to them, and the other thing was for the fans, because, yeah, there's so many rumors. I've heard so many stories about what happened and this happened, and it just nonsense, so much of it just nonsense, yeah, that I wanted to, I think people that want to know should know.
Yeah, and set it all straight. Now, I guess you also feel that you got a second lease on life after this.
Well, I did. You know, it just kind of put things in perspective. And, mm-hmm, you know, I don't make any big whoops about it. I don't feel born again or anything like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just simply, you know, I carry on. I mean, I've always been pretty busy. I'm a little more focused now. I gave up some bad habits at the time, and that had me on a road that wasn't a great road, you know. And so, you know, there's a little bit of cleanup, but the book's not about that. I'm not interested in talking about those kind of things. I talk about the music. I talked about, mm-hmm, recording records, the business. One reviewer called it an important book, just because for me, I wanted to be able to parallel what was happening with me / April Wine,
yeah,
and what was happening in the industry in Canada as well, and other groups and other aspects of the business. So I wanted to incorporate all those things.
Oh, absolutely. You have kids, right?
Yeah, I have two boys and a girl, yeah.
Have they been involved in the music business at all at any point?
Well, two of them. My daughter has, she dabs in music. She had a band. She writes and she does, mm-hmm, things musical, but that's not her full-time job. She's okay. A very creative person. She works in radio out in Regina.
Okay.
And I have another son that isn't in the music business, but he's quite talented too. He does some composing and things like that. And the third is in university in Carleton studying political science.
Oh, wow.
Which is something completely different, but
You have to be proud of them all. Would you encourage them to content, say for your daughter, for example, if she said, I want to get out of radio and I really want to forge it in the music business, would you encourage her, knowing the state of the music business today?
Well, I would encourage her, but I wouldn't bring it up.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I would hope she would avoid that one because it's too hard. It's too hard. A lot of us don't get lucky. You know, I worked very, very hard all of my life and I was successful, but, you know, there's a lot of luck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a lot of luck, and it's a very difficult game, and I don't even understand it anymore. I mean, when I was a youngster competing for the radio, I was over 40 years younger, and I don't pretend to be even interested in any of that anymore.
Yeah.
I've got a blues record that I'm about to mix called Miles Goodwin and Friends of the Blues. Now, that's a whole different genre, and it's a whole different approach, and that I'm very interested in. I've just been discussing, doing the final mix and just discussing with record labels and stuff what we're going to do with it, and that I'm into. But my daughter wisely didn't end up in the music business. I'm glad, because it's hard living on the road, and you're only as good as your last record, and it's a hard life.
Yeah, absolutely, because my son has got a band that he just got going, and, you know, we talk about it a bit, but I encourage him, but he's got a university degree at least to fall back on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, her too. She went to university first, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you just mentioned your blues band. If I'm not mistaken, is this the one that you had David Wilcox, Frank Marino, and people like that participate
in? Yeah, that's the one. I started that a long time ago, too. Yeah. I started that after that incident I was telling you about, and it was after that I just wanted to do some projects, you know, where I'm really at an age now where, you know, I don't have another 44 decades in front of me here.
Yeah.
So, I say, now, what do I really want to do? And that's why April Wine only works half the year. Now, we work from April, May, till about end of October. We're doing something. We just did something the other night. That was unusual to be performing in November. But I just had to open up the other half of the year, basically the other half of the year, so I can do other things like books. I got my charity. I got my blues. And I got a lot more to express than just April Wine, which I've been doing like forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So with the blues record, it's the two fellows that you mentioned. And there's a whole bunch of other guys. There's Rick Derringer's on it.
Yeah. Kenny Wayne?
Well, yeah, Blues Boss Wayne is on it. There's just Amos Garrett Mason, you know, just a whole bunch of great players, and they come on and they join me kind of in the studio idea. I write a song, I sing it, and they come in and play it. Because I'm not a blues, I'm not really a blues guy,
right?
But I'm a writer, and I really enjoy aspects of the blues, so I tried my best to write some great vehicles for blues musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go to them and say, what do you think, yay or nay? And everybody was in. Everybody really liked the material, and I mean, a lot.
Oh, man.
So I apparently did a fair job, and so I'm just mixing it. Sounds real good. I'm anxious to get it out in the new year.
Are you going to be coming to Montreal with your blues band, or are you guys going to be playing?
It depends. You know, I also have the Miles Goodwin band, to really confuse everybody out there.
Yeah.
And that is basically a large band that interprets my music. A lot of it is from April Wine recordings, and some of it isn't. And, you know, April Wine is a four-piece band, can't do a lot of April Wine songs.
Right.
Even when we were five, we couldn't do some of the studio tracks. So with this band, I'm able to do it, and it's going over fantastic. And we don't do a lot of shows. We only do a handful of shows. It's a hobby. We play really good venues, and we have great shows, and it's very exciting. And I wouldn't mind doing some recording with them, because they're really great, exceptional players, really. And it's a fun project. So, you know, I do a handful of dates with them, and maybe with the blues it'll be the same thing. Maybe I'll do five or six shows a year. Maybe it'll be more than that. I don't know yet. I'm going to see.
Well, I think you sparked a lot of people's interest, so we'll pressure you to get a show on in here. It would be
nice to do a few shows, because I know with the Miles Gooden Band, everybody just loves to play, but everybody's got a lot of other things going on, too. It's one of those things that we're not like a band living in a band house waiting for the next gig. You know, it's not like that. Everybody, are you good next Friday? Nah. Okay. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of like, I'm busy, but we managed to get together a few times a year and record. We're going to do a live recording of the show that we've been doing. We're going to record that live, I hope, sooner than later.
All right. It's 2:30. It's Jake Lawrence on K103 talking with Miles Goodwin of Vapor Wine. Miles, you have interest or have been working with the Diabetes Foundation.
Yeah, well, that started with my youngest son, the fellow that's in university in Ottawa. He was diagnosed a few days before his 7th birthday with type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, that's difficult.
So he was very young, and all of a sudden he's on needles and so forth, and all the complicated stuff that goes with this horrible disease.
Yeah.
And then in 07, so I got involved with the JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, at that point, and it's mentioned at every April Wine Show. We talk about it a little bit, and we also often collect monies and things like that. I do what I can on the side for them. And then in 07, I became diabetic myself, and only then did I find out that it's kind of in our family, not in my immediate family, but aunts and cousins and uncles. And so, you know, so now we got two diabetics in the family, and so that just made it even that more important to address and help out and help find a cause. And
well, it's good of you to really help out and then put the word out there as well. I know, and I saw it on your Facebook, I don't know, months ago or whatever, Soulful Caring about the shoes, the donation of shoes and socks, what I thought was, what a great idea.
Yeah, well, that started with a good friend of mine, a doctor here in Montreal, who actually works at the Westmount Clinic, Dr. Stan Van Dyson. He and I were talking one day about the need for protecting your feet in the winter, the people that are living on the streets.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's diabetic, so that came up as well, saying, well, if you're diabetic, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Because with diabetes, there's all kinds of neurological problems. So if you have, if you cut your foot somehow, that can get infected. And if that gets carried away, which it tends to do, then it could lead to amputation. And then after amputation, it's 3 to 5 years, typically you're dead.
Yeah.
So it's, I protect my feet constantly. There's always something on my feet. Only when I go to bed, from the bed to the bathroom and back, will I risk not having something on my feet.
Yeah.
You can stub your toe and die. So with that in mind, we say, well, what about all those homeless people out there? What can we do? And then that conversation just kind of went by the side for about 4 years or so. And I started thinking about it again. And I said, geez, I'm going to do something about this. This is terrible. It was a cold day, and I thought about it. So I went back to Stan. I said, I'm going to do something. So we formed Soulful Caring. That's S-O-L-E-F-U-L, Soulful Caring.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I collect shoes that are donated, gently used shoes.
Yeah.
For men and women, and even children in some cases, and then I distribute them across the country from coast to coast.
Wow!
And it's been going really well. We're actually in the middle of something right now, collecting shoes, and we're going to be distributing those again coast to coast before Christmas.
Now, is there with Soulful Shoes? Is there a website or a Facebook that people can go to?
Yeah, it's you can just go to soulfulcaring.com.
Oh, it's that simple.
Yes, S O L E, like in soul of your shoe.
Right.
Soulful, S O L E F U L, soulful, and then caring, caring. .com. Yeah, and. Right now, this particular campaign, it's not that you can donate to us. I'm working with the NRO, which is the National Recycling Organization of Canada, which is affiliated with Sally Ann, as a matter of fact, Salvation Army. And so from the recycling, they're pulling shoes for me to be able to distribute. In other times, I work with Value Village, the CDA, Canadian Diabetes Association, and others, and we've had campaigns.
Right.
Where people bring their boots to a location, donate them, we collect them and distribute them. So, but this year it's run slightly differently.
Oh, that's great. Okay, we're going to end off. I like to end off some of my interviews, especially with musicians, with two fun questions. Mind you, this is going to be, you've played with a lot of people. You just told me some of the people you played with on your blues album. If you could have artist, a musician, play with you on stage, your dream guy to play with on stage, who would it be?
Well, I'll just flip it a little bit. If you've asked this question, you may have had this response before. But who would I play with? Not who would play with me.
Either way, it's good.
I wouldn't mind being a backup band for McCartney.
Oh wow! I love that answer.
Yeah, it's kind of like Ringo's All Star Band. Well, let's have a Paul McCartney All Star Band, and I'll be in that band. Thanks, that'll work.
Oh wow, you caught me off on that one. I like that. That is great. Guitars. I love guitars. I see your Facebook, all the guitars you have. What's your number one go-to guitar?
Well, that's a difficult question because I have so many guitars. I'm a guitar collector. I had about 100 at one point. I have probably 50 or 60 guitars now. I have some of them that are so special that they don't leave the house.
Yeah.
I have those, and when I do get to play them, which is not often enough, it's just a dream, because they're not just unusual guitars or with history. They're guitars that actually happen to sound really amazing.
Yeah.
I have so many guitars. I don't have one go-to. Like, I have some acoustics. I'm kind of doing acoustics work now because I'm doing a lot of some solo stuff. I'm promoting my book, Just Between You and Me.
Right.
And so I do signings and things like that in different cities, and they want a couple of acoustic songs. So I'm getting to know acoustics more. As a matter of fact, I just ordered a 12-string acoustic from Godin today. I find that I have one guitar. I have two guitars, and my go-to guitar for years is a 1947 Gibson Southern Jumbo with a big crack in the back. You can see right through it. you can see a vista through the back of it when the weather's dry, and then in the summer when there's moisture in the area, it closes up. Mm-hmm. But it's an old, beautiful Gibson. I wrote Roller on it. I wrote Say Hello on it. I wrote Just Between You and Me on it. I wrote Tonight's a Wonderful Night to Fall in Love. I wrote all of these hits on my 47 Jumbo.
Wow.
At night when people were sleeping and stuff like that, so I wasn't good. I could just go in and plug into a Marshall the next day, and it would rock. So that's one. And the other, the first guitar I've ever owned in my life, except my dad bought me back when I was in my early teens. It's a Norma. I still have that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good choice. Lots of fun. I love guitar talk, even though I'm a terrible player. But I love listening to it, and I love playing with him. Miles, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on your busy schedule. It's much appreciated.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. I like to be able to talk to folks that are interested. So, and the book is apparently it's a pretty good read. There's about six pages. I counted them the other day. There are 24 people that have something nice to say about the book, and it starts off three pages both sides of praise from people like Alex Lifeson from Rush and Tom Cochran and all these different people, and also authors and people and other business people, and just a lot of nice warm feelings for the book, for myself, for my music, and for April Wine, of course. And that's really good. It'd make a great, great Christmas gift.
Oh, no, you know what? Yeah, it's on my Christmas list to my wife and kids, because I got thrown out of Paragraph bookstores reading your book and say, either you buy it, sir, or you leave.
There you go.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, and have a great day. We'll talk again sometime, I hope.
Yeah, hold on the line just a minute. We're going to leave off here with Just Between You and Me. This is April Wine. We just talked to Miles Goodwin, took a time out of his busy day on K103.7 FM.
Time and time again I see a love that seems strong was not meant to be. Broken hearts don't always mend.
7 FM, your First Nation radio station. April Wine, Just Between You and Me. And if you just heard, we just finished a conversation with Miles Goodwin of April Wine. The book is in stores now. A great read, a good Christmas gift, one that I'm going to be waiting for.